Your dreams are bigger, bolder, and more badass than the life you're living now, but something just keeps getting in the way. Join certified coach and former therapist Diane Wingert for the Driven Woman podcast. She'll show you how to get rid of whatever is holding you back so you can stop spinning your wheels and up-level your life. Get ready to hop in and buckle up. This is the Driven Woman podcast, and we're heading for the fast lane.
Well, hey there, Driven Woman. You know, these solo, no BS, straight from me to you episodes are among the most popular because I really tell it how it is, or at least how I see it. And today is going to be no exception. As a matter of fact, if this is your very first time listening to the Driven Woman podcast, this episode is going to be different than the others. It still directs, no BS. There will be a sprinkling of colorful language, maybe more than the norm. But today, I'm going to be talking about failure. As a matter of fact, I'm going to be talking about personal failure and one that literally just happened. Now, you and I have both heard all of the advice that you can teach from a place of healing, but not when you're a gaping wound. Okay, I'm not a gaping wound, but I am saying that what I have been through in the last couple of months, which culminated in the failed launch of my new group coaching and mentorship program, has taught me so much. Probably a whole lot more than it would have taught me had it been a success. Now, listen, I'm not crazy, and I am not saying that I'm happy or grateful that the launch failed, but I am grateful for what it has shown me about myself, about how to be a better business strategist, coach, and mentor, about my own relationship with failure, and my responsibility as a leader of other women. So let's get into it, shall we? All right. If you have been riding along with me for a little bit, you may have been one of the large number of people who raised their hand at some point on the journey and said, yeah, I'd be interested in a group coaching program with you. And even though I have relocated twice in the last 3 years, including the most recent one was in May, and after only 6 weeks in my new home, I left and went somewhere else for the summer, and I'm about to go back. Even though I got a terminal diagnosis of my beloved Chihuahua, Chico, 12 years old, I've had him ever since he was a rescue puppy, got a terminal diagnosis just days after we came here for the summer, and he actually passed a week ago today, the day that I started the launch emails. And I spent 3 weeks, just about a month and a half ago, having COVID for the first time. I still, for some crazy reason, thought I could go ahead with my program launch as planned. Now, one of the things that I think this experience has taught me is that it can be hard to know when you are pushing through and being a badass, or when it is a form of toxic productivity, or you are enacting an old trauma pattern. I have had the business therapist Nicole Lewis-Kieber as my guest on a couple of episodes, which I will link to in the show notes. And her whole body of work is around entrepreneurs and their history of childhood trauma and how we bring that into our businesses. So could it have been that I failed to recognize this is an old pattern of mine of pushing through, even though I could have delayed, I could have slowed down, there were so many things I could have done. You know, sometimes when we have a lot going on, and we rise above those challenges and obstacles, and we push through, and we meet our goals, we feel great about it. And we're not on the edge of burnout. And we don't feel resentful that it actually worked. We can rise above. But in order to do so, you need to have really solid support in your personal life. It would be helpful to have really good support in your business through your team who can do more during the times when you're not able to, so that you can stay on track with the launch. But I ignored those things. And I even ignored the advice of my team, who really questioned as we got closer and closer to the launch whether I was able to show up for it. And I just kept on going. Now, I want to be very, very clear that this launch did not fail because I wasn't prepared. This launch did not fail because I didn't have the stability or the bandwidth. It failed because I didn't have a long enough runway to make sure all of the conditions that would have been necessary for it to succeed would be in place. You may have a big audience for your program, your product, your services, but not everyone in your audience is able to buy, willing to buy, wants to buy, or wants to buy at the time of your launch. You may also find that you have attracted an audience that has all kinds of different people in it, that even if every single one of them was adequately resourced to join your program, not all of them would be appropriate for it. So if you just throw open the doors and say, okay, everybody, cart open, come on in, bye, 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 depending on your business model. I mean, if you're selling a DIY course and they're never going to interact with you or each other, that might be okay, but that's not the business model I have. So the way my launch was set up was that I choose to handpick every single person that comes into one of my programs. If I work with people one-on-one, when I work with people one-on-one, I should say, we have a screening process. Because I will only invite someone to work with me one-on-one if I'm 100% confident that I am the right coach for the right reason at the right time. And I'm not only confident that we can have a fantastic result, I can't wait to get started. Those are the conditions that I want to feel. And so there are certain things I need to know and certain things I need to ask about. I'm looking for an adequate level of motivation. I'm looking for an adequate level of preparation. I'm looking for the right expectations and how much work they're able to do and how much work I can commit to doing, all of those things, because I'm much more interested in creating really good outcomes than I am in creating big numbers. That has always been how I roll. Now, that's not to throw shade on anybody who wants to have a really huge following, who wants to have really big launches, who wants to sell to really big numbers of people and create oodles and oodles of money. I got nothing against money, but I am much more driven by impact than I am by income. So I needed more time to nurture more people, to screen more people, to be able to meet the numbers that I decided were necessary to launch the first cohort of this group. And I didn't give myself enough time to reach them. Because COVID took 3 weeks out of me, because my beloved Chico passing and everything that led up to that, he was terminally ill for the last 2.5 months. I literally have not slept through the night since the 4th of July because I was his full-time caregiver. And I didn't take those things into account. So I think some of the things that I have learned, you might think, oh, we should have learned these things before we started a business, or we should have learned these things before we reached this age and stage. But you know, that's the incredible thing about life, is that it just keeps serving up opportunities to learn and to learn and to learn again. I want to tell you a few more things, so don't go away. I want to share this quick message with you first, and then I'll be right back. Hey, it's Diane with a quick interruption to the episode because I've got a couple questions I just need to ask you. One, are you where you want to be in your business? Are you making the money you want to make, working the hours you want to work, seeing the clients that you want to see, and getting the income and impact that you went into business to get? And if the answer is no, what's holding you back? Why is there a gap between where you are and where you want to be? Do you know the answer? In my experience working with female solopreneurs, so many of them don't even really know what's standing in their way, and that is so frustrating. So I created a little quiz called What's Holding You Back? There's a link to it in the show notes. If this is you, please take the quiz. And if you do, DM me on Instagram at Coach Diane Wingert and let me know your results. Now, on the other hand, if you already know what's holding you back, if you already know what the obstacles are that are getting in your way from achieving the income and impact that you deserve and desire, then I don't want you to take the quiz. Forget about the quiz. Go directly to the other link in the show notes and book a consult with me. I may be the very coach, and this may be the year that you put all of that behind you and really have the business that you went into business to have. For everybody else, keep on listening. And if you find value in what you hear, don't forget to leave me a rating and review on Apple or wherever you're listening. Here we go, back to the show.
I adopted this phrase of this is what we do here, instead of trying to make it, like for the longest time, I was trying to make it fit everybody's need, where you were attracted.
Yes.
So that was, I think, the struggle bus. And I don't think I was aware of that. I was, just because I love people. And when you have potential, I can help you get there. So I think I was allowing too much wiggle. And that's what you helped me through mostly in my memory of like figuring out that it's okay to say, no, this is what we do here. This is that stance. And that's how Beyond Common, you know, 12 Essentials for Success in Life, it finally was completed. It was just like this pieces and parts of things that we had done that worked to make us successful. But it was like through that figuring out how to connect everything. And definitely your influence helped me so much. Like it was like, you know, you're an angel.
Okay, thanks for sticking with me. So a couple of other things. And I realize I'm being a little bit stream of consciousness, a little bit off the top of my head. But I believe that this is valuable and timely information, because I know for a fact I am not the only one who has gone through this. And I am not the only one who will go through this. I had a hard time convincing my husband that launching this particular episode right after my failed launch, if at all, was a good idea. He said, well, wait a minute, you're asking people to trust you and respect you, and some of them hire you as a business strategist and coach and mentor. Don't they need to see you as a big success before they want to hire you? And he's not wrong, right? I'm taking a risk here. I'm taking a risk that you might think, well, never going to look to her for anything again. She's just disqualified herself. And I understand that that is a risk. And if that's how you feel, no hard feelings. You do you. But I will also tell you that I spent 2 years of my life affiliated with an organization where the leader always exclusively showed a perfect presentation of herself. You never heard about any failure. She never spoke of any failure. And she was as close to perfect as any of us had ever seen. Naturally, everybody wanted to be like her. Everyone wanted to just glom onto her. And it created an environment where all of us were kind of competing for her attention. And any failures that any of us experienced as we were going through her program really very actively got swept under the rug. It came to feel very culty to me. And by the end of the time, investment, money, time, energy, effort, focus, attention, opportunity cost, all of that, I came to feel pretty traumatized by the whole thing. I am all for learning environments, whether they be coaching programs, podcasts like this one, masterminds, group coaching experiences, courses. I am all for programs where we set a high standard, We hold people to high expectations, and we encourage them to expect more of themselves. I think all coaches should do that because all of us have more potential than we are currently demonstrating. All of us. All of us have untapped riches inside of us. I believe that with my whole heart. And if we set our standards too loosey-goosey, if we give ourselves permission to slack whenever we feel like it and rise whenever we feel like it, come on, let's be real. We're not going to rise very often. We're going to slack on the regular. I know I will. Most of the people that have worked with me in the last few years struggle with boundaries, knowing the difference between their value and their worth, asking for what they really want and not just settling for what they think they can get, dealing with resistance and avoidance, and managing their own perfectionism, procrastination, and people-pleasing. Almost 100% of them. And of course, I deal with these things myself. But I think there's a big difference between encouraging people to strive, encouraging people to reach, to set stretch goals, to push themselves, to expand their comfort zone, and hardcore bypassing their legitimate needs. I do not think those things are the same. And I think I missed the boat with myself. You see, I have spent the better part of the last year working with a wonderful consultant, Claudia, in the Netherlands, I've spoken of before, and I will happily link to her in the show notes. I have spent the better part of a year working with her to take the best of my brilliance and package it into a signature framework. The result is the Boss Up System. Now, the Boss Up System is going to, over the next couple of years, be the Boss Up Breakthrough, the Boss Up Bootcamp. There's many different versions and variations and ways that it can be packaged and offered, and individual experiences, group experiences, accelerated experiences. I'm so excited to share it with people as a group because I've been running people through this framework one-on-one for over a year with incredible results. So I was very eager to launch the program. And because the Boss Up Breakthrough is structured as a 12-week program, I knew I needed to launch it in September because I wanted people to be able to finish a couple weeks before the holidays. And so I just pushed myself through it. Now, I want to be very clear. In fact, I spoke to some ladies in a mastermind that I'm part of this morning, and they said, wait a minute, why are you calling this a fail? You didn't fail. You had a bunch of people on the wait list. You had a bunch of people that were interested. You put people through a screening process. There were people that after the screening said, yes, I'm in. I decided not to go forward with the Boss Up Breakthrough right now. I decided. It's not because I didn't get any signups. I didn't get enough of the right people, right for me, right for the program, and right for each other to meet my criteria for the first cohort. So is that a fail? I mean, it's a really interesting question because if I didn't care so much about people getting results when they work with me, if I would have just signed up anybody who was willing to pay, no screening, just you got a wallet, you got a credit card, you're in. And plenty of people do that. And if that's their business model, that's none of my freaking business. But I believe my personal values are I only want to work with people that I know can get really good results working with me, because that way everybody wins. And I do believe that group dynamics matter. One person who is not suitable for group work can spoil the experience for everyone in it. And if you create a group that has brand new entrepreneurs with very seasoned entrepreneurs, somebody's not going to be getting their needs met at any given moment. That's not fair. That is not the experience I wanted to create. And I didn't have enough of the right people with the right level of experience who would work well with each other from amongst all the people that said yes. So I pulled the plug. I'm having some difficulties with my partner, my husband, because he's like, wait a minute, you've been wanting to do this. You've been so excited. You've worked so hard with everything going on and you're not going to do it. And he even said, are you sure this isn't self-sabotage? Ooh. Well, I guess it shows that he occasionally pays attention to my content. But in all reality, no, it isn't, because obviously I needed to ask myself that too. And honestly, I think we can all agree there are times when we do sabotage ourselves because we're actually more afraid of success than we are of failure. Luckily, in this instance anyway, that is not the case. Although I'm pretty sure that I've done that in the past. Something else I want to talk about is when we've decided to do something, and I'm going to broaden this a little bit from launches to kind of knowing when to push and when to pull back, when to push through and when to fall back. Because I don't know about you, but I'm pretty good at fooling myself and talking myself into things and out of things and convincing myself that I'm not going to do something because it's the wrong time, when actually I'm just scared shitless. I am not referring to this particular time, but I find it immensely, immensely helpful to decide ahead of time before you do anything for the first time, before you do anything that is out of your comfort zone, before you do anything in your business that is an occasion for you to pull your big girl panties all the way up to your chin, because you do not know for sure whether it's going to work and whether you have what it takes to make it through. I find in those times that I need to remind myself of my core values. What are the 5 things that are most important to me in my business? A core values exercise is one of the first things I do with everyone I work with, even if they've done them before. Whether they work with me one-on-one or part of a group, I take them through a core values exercise. Why? Because entrepreneurship is not for the faint of heart. There will be failures. There will be cringeworthy, humiliating experiences. There will be rejections. There will be missed opportunities. There will be wasted effort. There will be investments that will not bring you any ROI and will make you feel completely cheated. And because of all that, you have to have something stronger than just a good idea and passion to get you through the hard times. Knowing your values is a wonderful filter for determining, do I push on or do I pull back? Do I regroup? Do I come at this from a different angle? Do I do this at a different time? And one of my top 5 values is integrity. And I knew, and everyone has a different way of thinking about integrity. The way I think about it is, am I positioned to do my best work? Are the conditions met for me to be able to do my best work with this group of individuals? They were not. Trust me when I say it was no fun writing those emails saying, thank you for your interest in the Boss Up Breakthrough. It's not going to happen. And let me tell you why. And here are some options that we may want to talk about. I did not enjoy writing those emails. I didn't even enjoy think about writing those emails. But knowing my core values, knowing that integrity is one of the most important things to me, and knowing that I could not meet my own needs for integrity if I went ahead and enrolled all the people who said yes, knowing that it wouldn't be the optimal experience. I just couldn't do it. I also think it's really useful to ask yourself, are you more concerned about letting other people down than letting yourself down? One of the other assessments I do with a lot of my clients is the 4 tendencies assessment. It's a framework from Gretchen Rubin. And most of us are obligers. About 42% of all humans are obligers. And obligers will usually do what they feel obligated to do. In this case, because these people said, I want in. They spent time with me through the application and screening process. They were like, let's do this. most people who are obligers would say, I can't let them down. I have to push through and do it for them. Now, I'm a questioner. So while I do not like letting people down, I most certainly do not, especially people who entrust me to help them with their business. I'm a little bit less compelled to do something because I don't want to disappoint other people. As a questioner, I have equal concern about letting other people down and letting myself down, which is why I have so many questions. One of the other things I think about when I'm attempting to do something new, especially if I have to decide whether I'm going to push through or pull back, is why now? What do you have to prove? Do you feel like you haven't done enough this year, this quarter, so you have to make up for it? Do you feel like, I was thinking in my case, there was a part of me that felt like I had worked so hard and so long on creating my signature framework that I needed to justify all that by pushing through and launching this program now, whether I had the bandwidth or not. That's really not optimal. And I kind of needed to go through everything I've gone through to reach that level with myself where I recognized, yeah, that was part of it. I felt like I had something to prove to myself. And that's almost always a thought problem, which means you do not fix it by doing something. You fix it by working on yourself, on your mindset, doing some journaling, doing some self-inquiry, doing some self-coaching like I do. My bandwidth has been really eaten up over the last couple of months for all the reasons that I've talked about. And yes, I'm a baddie. And yes, I could have pushed through. And yes, I could have done a good job. And because none of these people have worked with me before, they would have all thought it was good. But I would have known better. Here's another thing you've probably heard me say. I like to do things either full ass or no ass. I'm really not capable of half-assing anything. And a lot of the clients that I work with, maybe they don't use that exact language. I'm a bit of a potty mouth, but they kind of feel the same way. So another thing to ask yourself is this imposter syndrome? Am I self-sabotaging? Or are the conditions not right for me to do this full ass? Or whatever variation of that you would like to use. As I said, I really didn't want to record this. I really don't enjoy sharing this, and I have no idea how this is going to land. But here's what I do know. I spent a lot of time learning from someone I thought was an expert who never showed me any form of failure in her business. Everything was always a win. There were no excuses. You pushed through, you double down, you go all in, and you basically prove yourself by continuing to do so no matter what. And I realize with my trauma and abuse history that that environment really recreated my childhood, and I didn't even recognize it at the time. I felt a sense of shame for how I felt about that program at the end, and I felt really embarrassed and kind of humiliated for the fact that I stayed with it as long as I did. And I tried so hard to make it work. And I didn't talk about it afterwards for a really, really long time. And then little by little by little, people started seeking me out privately and asking me questions. And I realized, oh my goodness, this was not just me. Other people have experienced this too. So one of the main reasons why I'm outing myself as a business strategist, mentor, and coach who had a failed launch is because I feel obligated, again, here's integrity, to let other people know that there's a very good chance that someone you respect, someone you admire, someone you look up to, someone you think of as having it all together and you just want to be like them. I've had a handful of people say to me, you're who I want to be when I grow up. First time I heard it, I was like, ew. Second time I was like, oh, that's nice. And the third time I heard it, I thought, don't do that to yourself because you are probably thinking better of me than you should. And one way that I can normalize the fact that all of us in business have ups and downs, nobody succeeds every single time, is to tell the truth when I make a mistake, when I screw up, when I don't hit the mark, and when I choose failure. You see, I believe that with all the studying I have done over the last year on the subject of women and confidence, something I have spoken about quite a bit on this podcast, I think the number one reason why women hold themselves back is because we are terrified to make mistakes, and we are terrified that when we fail, it means we are a failure. As a leader of women, a mother of a daughter, an auntie to nieces, and a friend to other women, I need to do my part to say, yeah, that person you listen to who has a podcast and you might think one day I'd really like to work with her, she fails too. She fails too, and she talks about it. That's the only way that we can normalize it. We can make failure less scary so that we can all continue to try things, to do things that are not in our comfort zone, whether they work out or not. Okay, I have one more thing I want to share with you before we wrap this up. As I said, this is very unscripted. I made a couple of little notations for myself, but this is really from my head and my heart as it's happening. A failed launch, if you have experienced one, it can teach you all of these things. It can teach you to change your relationship with failure. It can teach you that shame is the enemy and sharing is the cure. It can teach you that you really do need to respect your own timing, your own bandwidth, your own need to grieve. Don't be so focused on doing something just because you said you would. It's okay if people are disappointed. It's okay if you are disappointed. It doesn't mean you're not deserving of people's respect and admiration and, yes, their business. But a failed launch, or even hearing about my failed launch, there's one more thing about this that I think is worthy of consideration. Maybe the launch model is not right for you or your business. I mean, something I've become aware of through this experience is that there's a lot of work and focus and energy and attention and expense that goes into a launch. 15 years ago when I remarried, no, maybe it's 17 years ago when I remarried, I was my own wedding planner and coordinator. There's a lot of work, a lot of work. And then you have your big day, your wedding, or your launch in this case. And whether it goes according to plan and you're thrilled with the results or it's a hideous disaster, it's over. And not every business owner really enjoys that energetic exchange. You know, people who regularly launch programs, products, offers in their business kind of need to gear up for the launch model. Whether they launch a program once a year, twice a year, quarterly, monthly, launching might not be the right model for you. And one of the expressions that I use a lot is the bigger they are, the harder they fall. So if you are planning to do one or two big launches a year and create the income that you are then going to live off of and invest back in your business until the next launch, that is a lot of pressure. And that may not work great for you in your current age and stage and lifestyle. Maybe it does, but maybe it doesn't. And so if a failed launch teaches you not that you're a failure, not that you should go crawl into a hole and hide, not that you should never talk about it, and hopefully no one will remember to ask, hey, what about that launch? But maybe the lesson for you is, I don't really like this whole launch model. Fortunately, you're the boss, so you can redesign your business and sell Evergreen or any number of other things. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I am definitely going to relaunch the Boss Up Breakthrough in 2023. I am definitely going to give myself and my audience more time to get to know what that program is all about. I'm going to get better at clarifying who it's for and who it isn't for so that the right people will get on the wait list. There won't be a lot of guesswork on their part or mine, but it's only September. I can't write off the rest of the year because this program didn't go as I had hoped. So keep your eyes and ears open if you happen to follow me on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, if you're in my Facebook group or here on this podcast, or if you're on my email list, you will be hearing in the near future about other options that I am going to offer and create for the first time that are using the framework of the Boss Up system, but won't be a 12-week small group program because I know nobody wants to be doing any of that kind of stuff during the holidays. So I will be letting you know what's coming. For now, I'm going to give myself a minute to recognize that even though the result was not what I intended, I did have a good outcome. And I chose to believe it was not the right timing to make the most of that. So, and also I need to grieve a little bit. It's only been a week. So for you dog lovers out there, I don't have to explain how hard it is to say goodbye to two beloved fur babies in just a year's time. Thank you for listening. Thank you for staying with me all the way to the end of this episode. I know it is not the typical solo episode, but I hope that you found value in hearing that I've been self-employed for 12 years. And I still make mistakes, and I still fail to take my own needs into account in my planning. And that's okay. It's okay for me, and it's okay for you. All right? I will be back next week with a wonderful guest interview. Until then, stay driven.
You've been listening to the Driven Woman Podcast with Diane Wingert. Want more straight talk and strategy each week that will take you from spinning to winning? Don't forget to hit subscribe in your podcast player so you won't miss a single episode. Then head on over to the Driven Woman free and private Facebook group community. See you there.